think you muted yourself, Bart.
Bart. What a way to start. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. We're going to do the intro here now, boys. Grab your twig and lace them up. It's time to broadcast the boosterest part of the fastest game in the world. So strap on your lid, Rook. You're listening to the Barn Chirpers Podcast. Take a lap.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it, boys. Two of us.
Yes, we are knee deep in playoffs. And
so deep. So deep.
Before we get into, because we're going to talk about, like, you know, each series individually here, but I did want to say, like, I'm actually highly impressed with the NHL playoffs this year. Like, I have really enjoyed watching a lot of playoff hockey.
Yeah, man. I mean, minus, you know, not, we talked about it last week, not being able to watch it on ESPN Plus unless you have a TV provider. I did go ahead and I got Sling, the free trial gimmick, which is, that's the way I went about it. But it's been a great playoffs, honestly. I mean, 7 out of 8 have been a great playoffs for sure. 7 out of 8 have been a great playoffs to watch. I'm thoroughly enjoyed it this year.
So we're going to start with probably and this is why this one's coming up first, because it's probably over. And
it should be over. Like,
should be over.
Tomorrow, it should be over. And obviously, of course, we're talking about Vegas Golden Knights versus the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, Vegas is up 3-1. Last game, they won 4-2 to go up 3-1. The Jets are done, though, man. I know in our prediction episode, I said this was going to 7. I just really thought the Jets had such momentum after getting into the playoffs. But yeah. They, besides the first game where they beat Vegas, they handed them their ass in Vegas. First game, 5-1.
Yep.
They've been non-existent ever since. I mean, game 3 did go to double OT, which was, you know, pretty exciting. But, dude, Morrissey is hurt. Scheifele is hurt. Ehlers is day-to-day. There's nobody on this team.
What? I mean, no love for Nino Niederreiter?
Nino, I mean, he has 2 goals.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Lowry has, I think, 4 goals. But, I mean, your number one defenseman and the guy who got the most points for you this year is out.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Wheeler is non-existent. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Hellebuck is an amazing goaltender, but Vegas is just the better team. And the thing about that is, like, Brassant doesn't have to be a great goalie. He just has to be decent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In this case. So, yeah. Like, it should be done next game. It should be. I know I called 7, but I mean, I just don't think the Jets can do anything about all those injuries.
We've talked about how much playoff hockey I watched. That's the only one where, like, I've watched the least amount of that series, because every time I turn it on, I'm like, oh, here's what's happening. It's nothing worth watching.
Exactly.
Vegas just looks like the better team, and it's because they are. I mean,
they definitely are. I mean, it is a 1-8 matchup. So
yeah.
I mean, good on the Jets for getting in, honestly. Ooh. But I definitely overshot that game, that 7 game. I would be very surprised if Vegas doesn't put it away.
And, you know, I, you know, just like you, they came out and punched him in the mouth in the first one. I was like, okay, so this will be a series. So, like,
now, yeah, exactly.
They showed something in game 1 that they haven't gone back to, like,
they
at all.
Find it. Yeah,
so
exactly.
They can't find it.
Speaking of not being impressed, Justin, my most least impressed by the entire series of Carolina versus the New York Islanders. This series is so boring. The Islanders won last night. So Carolina's up 3-2. But this is so boring. There is no physicality in this series. Mm-hmm. Zero. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know where they're getting their hit counters from, because I don't see any hits. And I've watched most of this series. There's no physicality. If I'm New York going down 3-1, why am I not fighting? Like, literally, if I was an Islanders fan, I would be so upset. Why are you not fighting, doing something, getting under Carolina's skin, something? Nobody's doing it. And the reason is because there's nobody to fight. Nobody fights on that team anyway.
No. Like, I mean, Cal Clutterbuck? I mean, I know he's a hitter, but like...
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, man, it's so boring. There's a lot of penalty minutes, though, in this game, but there's no physicality. A couple stats that I have for here. Yes, I do have stats, ladies and gentlemen. So both teams, a whopping 2.8 goals per game each game. A whopping 2.8. Carolina does have 5 power play goals. They are 21.7% on their power play. That's middle of the road right now for the playoffs. 66 penalty minutes, okay? They're 93.3 on the PK. That is first in the PK right now in the playoffs. So the Isles have 1 power play goal and a 6.7% power play percentage, which is the very last in the playoffs right now for power play. They are terrible. They've had 90 penalty minutes, and they're 78.3 on the PK, which is middle of the road on the PK. But the 1 power play goal with 66 essentially minutes on the power play, that is atrocious. And that's why you're losing.
Yeah. You know, we'll talk more about the devs later, but like that was what was plaguing the devs in the first couple games. And the thing is, like, how do you, I mean, I don't know what moves you do make, but like they're getting outworked by a team that is like plagued with injuries.
Yeah. Again, I picked this to go 7, but there's no reason why Carolina doesn't shut them out. Just to put them out to pasture. I believe their next game is Thursday. But dude, it's just so boring. It's so boring to watch. I will say that. I guess I'm surprised that Ranta's done so well, but yeah, it's just I just want it to be over with and then see whoever gets bounced. So I will say this. I am actually surprised because I called it the other way. I said the Islanders were going to win. Excuse me. Wow, that's rude. I don't know if you can hear that. But Carolina essentially has – they are the more offensive team, right? And I was calling it in our prediction show that Carolina didn't have any offense at all. So they've turned that on, if you will. But, yeah, it's just boring, man. I'm ready to be done with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't have much to add. It is. I mean, the Isles went out in Raleigh last night and took one back to make it interesting.
Just prolonged it.
They've got another game in Carolina, and the Canes are pretty good at home. So I don't see how they don't close it out.
They're pretty good at home. They're pretty good at home. And you know who else is pretty good at home, Justin?
Who's that?
The Boston Bruins are pretty good at home.
No shite.
They're also pretty good on the road, apparently. Yeah. Which is funny because they didn't win at all during the regular season in Florida, and they took 2 down in Florida, and they are heading back to Boston up 3-1. And this is just the Boston Bruins, man.
Yep.
This is the Bruins. I mean, I still chirp my friends who are Boston Bruins fans to this day. I always say, like, hey, remember in game 7 when the Bruins lost on home ice in 2019 in the Stanley Cup Finals? Nice. Wasn't that fun? And I love to see the picture of Brad Marchand crying, for sure. Uh-huh. But the Bruins are just – they're the best team, and they show you why they're the best team. Uh-huh. Literally, I mean, they're just so much better. Taylor Hall, for instance, who was a former MVP, is slotting in on their third line. Third line. Yeah. Taylor Hall, former MVP of the league. Mm-hmm. Like, that is how much depth they have in this team. And I'm not saying anything that anybody else hasn't said before, but it is actually pretty crazy to see where Krejci and Bergeron haven't played. Or excuse me, Bergeron hasn't played at all. Krejci's been out since game 1. And they still just have guys producing.
Yep.
It's crazy good. To me. A couple stats here for you. Florida, one of the lowest shot attempts in the playoffs, 132. Boston, second for save percentage, 0.926.
Wow.
We'll get to number one who's later. Florida just can't do anything. They literally can't do anything. They can't get shots through. Allmark has been a beast. Besides that second game where they came out swinging, they haven't done anything. I will give them props on game four. While the score ended up being 6-2, it was actually pretty close game until the last 4 or 5 minutes of the third period last game. Mm-hmm. Boston never surrendered the lead, and they were never – they were always up by at least one or mostly two goals. But Florida was in it. They just couldn't capitalize at all. And then, shit Chuck, that piece of shit. I'm calling him out on the cross check to the back on Garnet Hathaway. Mm-hmm. After the whistle is at the end of the first period, there's a scrum behind the net, and he just comes up, bam, cross check right in the back, right where the breezers and shoulder pads don't meet. So just stick on skin, cross checks him. I mean, he got a 2-minute penalty, but dude, if we're talking about like suspensions and shit, that should be a suspension. If anything, I mean, I'm not advocating for calling more penalties. I'm advocating more for let the boys play, but right. That's kind of bull crap, man. Like, I mean, if you come up and you do that, at least on the pads. Yeah. Okay. We're, you know, Garnet Hathaway is also a guy that's going to get under your skin. He probably did some stuff during the game too, but like that's just for a player of Tkachuk's caliber to do that. Like I kind of like, bro, put your mouth guard back in your mouth and go sit on the bench, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's bull crap to me.
It's ugly to see when you're getting beat to turn. Yeah. Like that. It's like, there's no shame in losing to Boston. Obviously you want to beat them, but
obviously, but, and here's
team all year.
Here's my thing. Instead of doing that, why don't you actually man up and drop the gloves?
Yeah.
Cause you haven't dropped the gloves.
Yeah.
So if you're going to do some backhanded bull crap like that, drop the gloves. And then beat their ass that way. Yeah. You know what I mean? And same thing, like he is there to get under the, he's a guy that gets under your skin while also being a very talented player. That's the same thing that happened at the end of the game there when he was messing around with Ullmark. Obviously those two weren't going to fight. That wasn't going to happen no matter what. Even if the refs weren't there, somebody would have stepped in. Like Ullmark and Tkachuk were never going to fight. Right. But yeah, it'll be interesting just to see how Florida responds when they go back to Boston. If I'm them, honestly, before the puck drops, drop the gloves.
Yeah, man.
Like you have to. You have to.
You have to show some sort of fight because otherwise you're just going to get worked. And I mean, even if they do, I don't see them being able to take another one from the Bees. I think they're done no matter what, but do something.
Yeah, I think they're done. And, you know, I did call it in the group chat that they put Bob in and they scored 5 goals on Bob. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And they, in my opinion, they really screwed themselves because, okay, Lyon did not do a terrible job.
Right.
At all. He did pretty solidly for you. You just couldn't score or get shots on net, right?
Right.
So you put Bob in there. He gets lit up for 5 goals, as he does, as I called in the group chat, as we've talked about before. So you can't – I mean, you probably will go back to Lyon, but you already took the kid out. Like, you know what I mean? You're screwed either way because you put Bob back in, guess what's going to happen? Four to five goals are going to get scored, guaranteed,
easily.
You put Lyon back in, yeah, maybe he has a good showing again, but I feel – like we said, goalies are weird, man. His confidence probably isn't the greatest at this point. Maybe it is, but you know, he ended the season 6-0-1, and then he started the first couple games. Excuse me again, the first 3 games, I should say, and then you take him out. So I don't know, but we'll see what happens. But I see the gentleman sweep, like I mentioned, happening.
Still alive. Yep, still alive, and very, very likely.
Very likely.
Now this one, Joe. Tampa Bay and Toronto.
Woo! Bro. Dude. Okay. Well, first off, since I just talked about suspensions, mm-hmm. right? So, okay. The Michael Bunting hit in game one on Chernak was 100% worthy of a suspension. He jumped into him, threw his elbow. Yeah, I don't necessarily think it was malicious in the sense that he was trying to hurt him, but he was trying to lay a hard hit in and he hit him in the elbow to the head, game misconduct, suspended for 3 games, right? Okay, mm-hmm. cool. in this game, excuse me, game three, Braden Point essentially gets past Morgan Riley. He's driving down on the right side, heading towards the goal. He's on his backhand. They're playing real tight. He cuts in towards the net. He loses an edge and goes hard into the boards. Hard into the boards. The it looked so nasty. And everybody, all the Tampa stands are like, oh, Riley hit him. That should be a suspension. Yada. No, that's a hockey play. Mm. Like, Point is cutting into the goal. And I don't know if you've ever been on skates before, anybody listening, but if you get real deep on that edge of the skate, you might wipe out. And that's the chance that you take, especially with a play where you're trying to cut in real tight to the net. He lost his edge. He went hard into the boards, but that wasn't Riley's fault. It just, that happens. I mean, to see Stammer and Austin Matthews throw down the gloves, that was kind of cool to see. But so Tampa wins that game, right? Game three in overtime. Game four comes around. Tampa's getting their ass kicked the entire game. There is no reason why Tampa or why Toronto should have won that game. 4-0 at all.
Yeah.
They came back from 4-0.
Yeah.
To go into overtime to win 5-4.
Wow.
And you know who the guy was that got the game tying goal? Ryan O'Reilly.
Look at that.
The guy, he got the game tying goal in game three. He got the game, or excuse me, pause. He did get the game tying goal in game three. And then he was a huge part of the comeback and the win in game four. The reason why they got this guy is for situations just like that.
Yep.
And Tampa is up 3-1. And a couple stats here. Two of the worst save percentages, literally the bottom two worst save percentages in the playoffs right now. Toronto, 0.873, and Tampa Bay, 0.856. The very last in the playoffs right now, worst save percentage. And Brian Elliott's playing in the goal, right, Justin? It's Moose, right?
No.
No, it's Vasilevsky. Yeah. It's Vasilevsky. One of the greatest goaltenders in the playoffs, Mr. Shut You Down, is human. He can't stop anything.
No, that started like a week or two going into the playoff. Like, I remember from fantasy because Mike has Vazzy on his squad.
Yeah.
And he got lit up for 10 goals in two games. I was like, oh, I have a chance here.
Yes, he is not Vazzy at all. Yep. He is not at all Vazzy. And Toronto is reaping the benefits of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're going back to Toronto, up 3-1. I mean, I hope they put him away. I honestly hope they do. If they lose, game five, then it's just kind of
it's
business as usual.
All over. Yeah.
Because here's the thing, though. Like, Sammy has not looked – Sammy just looks like a shaken dog every single game on every single shot. It's like he has no confidence at all. He makes a great save or whatever, but to me he's just like he doesn't know what to do. You know, and so that worries me about Toronto, but we'll see what happens. I mean, they got momentum. They took two in Tampa. They took both games in Tampa.
And not like in fantastic fashion. Like,
no, they took one that they shouldn't have won at all. So that's amazing.
Yeah. So to your point about Sammy, that's another thing. Like, I had him a good portion of the season, and I'm watching this guy, and it's like feast or famine with him. Like, one day he's giving me the shutty, and then the next he's getting lit up for six. It's been that way all season. And then Murray is no better. So it's like,
I mean, Murray is way below where Sammy's at right now, for sure. I just, you know, out of every move that the Maple Leafs made at this trade deadline, which were amazing moves and added so much depth, you probably could have not gotten a couple defensemen and tried to find a goalie somewhere because, dude. I hope they bounce Tampa. I really do. I want them to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way you're making it any further. There's no way.
Not if Sammy doesn't get his shit together. Sammy has to have it locked down. because Boston will eat them alive.
Me personally, though, I feel like, and I've heard this in the past for that, going back to when he and Vitek were on the Capitals and they got rid of both of them. Oh, well, we would have kept Sammy because he has a higher ceiling. Does he, though? I think he's at his ceiling right now, honestly, because he is on a much better team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, than he was with the Washington Capitals. He was for 2 years. He's on a much better team now on the Maple Leafs, and he's still not that good.
Yeah.
He's at his ceiling. Call me a liar, anybody.
I agree. And, you know, in the future on this program, we're going to do stuff where we trade people places, and I think I have a goalie solution for them.
I'm looking forward to hearing it.
More on the future of the Barn Trippers pod. But
stick around.
So just to close out thoughts, I feel like not only Toronto should, Toronto better, but they have to. I feel like they have to do this. They have to close it down. They have to have confidence because you've got the Bees up next, and the way they are right now, they get squashed by the Bees.
Yeah, they, like I said, they cannot lose in Toronto tomorrow night. They cannot. If they do, Tampa's taking it away 100%. Yep. There's no way around it. And no way around it.
Won't that be Toronto?
That would be very Toronto-like. That is true. Yes.
So here's another one I haven't had much of a chance to watch. The Kings and the Oilers. I've watched bits and pieces. I watched a little bit last night because there was only three games. So I was like, oh, okay. Like I can catch a little bit. I think it was of the third, but the Oilers were up like 6-2. So I was like, all right, well.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't watched a whole lot of this live because it's just West Coast time. Like I'm sleeping. I watched over the Saturday. It might've been either Friday or Saturday I watched, but as usual, the Oilers, somebody always jumps out to a huge lead, 2-0, 3-0, 3-1 or whatever. There was 5 goals scored in this first period. The Oilers were up 3-2. And, you know, right away, you're like, oh, man, they're off to a quick start. But with both teams, you're like, we'll see what happens in the next couple of periods. It always settles in, and it sure did. But this game was actually the Oilers' best game because they didn't give up a lead at all. There was no lead changes. Once the Oilers got it, they kept it. LA came back within 2, but they had them in this game. Like, the Oilers owned them in this game. It was very much a statement victory in my book to go up 3-2 since the way that they lost, or since I'm speaking of the Oilers, the way that they lost in game 4 with the overtime and the possible high stick and all that, the way that they lost, this was a statement win for sure. So it's looking good for the Oil going back to LA. I know I said this one was going 7 as well. It definitely was nice to see Darnell Nurse finally contribute with his $9 million contract because he's been, I mean, last year it would have been more of a big deal since they didn't have the depth last year, but now with Ekholm and Bouchard is actually showing up too this year, it's not a big deal that Nurse hasn't really produced yet, but finally he shows up for not making $9 million. That's, you know, good for Edmonton. Some quick stats real quick. Ooh. The Oilers, first in the power play in the whole league right now, 57.1%.
All right.
Second in power play goals. LA, last in the penalty kill with 42.9%. That makes sense. So, I mean, if you have McDavid and Draisaitl on the power play, they're probably going to score. Tough to stop. Soup got some action.
Oh boy!
Yeah, he came in relief, not last game but the previous game, and he didn't do too bad. But Skinny's been on it. So,
and you know, here's something we didn't talk about, and I didn't even think about it because he was hot going into the playoffs. Skinner, he's a rook.
Yeah, he is technically. He has played before, but it didn't equal an actual season.
So
those rules are.
Like he's that, you know, we'll say inexperienced and with that team that locked in, I'm pretty sure he's locked up the job.
I would say so. He definitely is better than Soup. So sign him to a long-term contract. Seriously. That's the best goalie you've had since Cujo back in the day.
Wow.
Grant Fuhr.
I would have to go through.
I would have to actually go through. I don't know who they've had as attendees. I think Talbot played for them for a little bit. I'm not sure exactly. But, yeah, he's definitely a solid goaltender. So lock him up.
Lock him up and try to lock up this series. Put LA away and let's see you go on to the next round, because much like Toronto, until it happens, I don't believe it.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, it's always been said, whenever the Canadian teams are doing well, the NHL is doing well. And that is true. Like, Canada is the biggest fan base of the NHL. So when those teams are doing well, the entire league is doing well in the sense of revenue and money. Maybe we'd get an actual TV deal.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Wouldn't that be great? Then we could actually watch. But I digress.
Speaking of watching, this one, Minnesota and Dallas, is probably the one I've watched the most.
Yeah, this is a great series.
That's including my boys. What have you seen in Minnesota versus Dallas so far, Joe?
Well, so, I mean, the biggest thing is Minnesota, they just can't stay out of the penalty box.
Yeah, dude.
They need to stay out of the penalty box. Like, literally, and I'm going to hit you with some stats here real quick, because Dallas has 9 power play goals. They are 40.9% on their power play. They are first in the league right now in power play goals, and they are third in power play percentage. Mm-hmm. Okay. Minnesota, 117 penalty minutes. They are first in penalty minutes in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And they are also second to last in goals for in the league right now. Those are two very terrible stats for Minnesota to be at the bottom of the barrel.
Awful.
And not only that, Minnesota has 2.6 goals per game. That's not going to get the job done.
Nope.
Compared to Dallas's 3.4 goals a game. Like, you're giving it away. You're literally giving it away. And this last game, they had 20 shots going into the third period. Minnesota did this last game. They got shut out 4-0. Yeah. It was not a good game at all.
Well, and I don't know how much of it you watched, but like within the first couple of minutes, Foligno gets the 5-minute major, game misconduct, gets tossed. 8 seconds later into the power play, I forget who it was. Seguin? I forget how to say his last name. But he scores a goal 8 seconds into the power play, which, to your point, like, you can't give Dallas that.
You can't, because they're definitely going to – they're more than likely going to score. So, yes. Yeah, it's – dude, it just – I hate to see it. I mean, I know I picked the Stars, but I hate to see the Wild go down like that. You know? I mean, they're going back to Minnesota. They should be going back to Minnesota for game 6. So we'll see how they come out. But yeah, it's that's the only thing. It's just kind of a letdown. Like, stay out of the box, guys. If they beat you 5-on-5, okay. Mm-hmm. But you're literally giving them the game.
Right.
Because you already aren't scoring enough goals. You know, which is we talked about on the first episode, but I thought they were turning it around because they were getting some guys scoring. But yeah, man, it's just I hate to see it.
A lot of pressure on Gus, who's handled it pretty well, other than, you know, getting lit up ish last night for 4.
Yeah, right. No, I'm glad they've gone back to Gus. I mean, I love Flower, but at least, at the very least, if you're going down, go down swinging with the guy who's going to be around for the next 5 to 6 years.
Right.
You know?
But last night was the only game that I've watched where I was like, ah, shit, like, Minnesota isn't going to do this. Every game I've seen was, you know, physical, was slow and grinding. And I know, like, the low scoring affairs kind of, it leans towards advantage Minnesota, but do you really want to slug it out with Dallas for, I mean, at this point you have to, if you want to win the series, you got to slug it out with them for 2 more games.
Yeah, you do.
But they did not stack up last night against Dallas. And Dallas looked the most Dallas that they've looked so far in the playoffs.
I agree. And I mean, this series has been very physical too, like you just mentioned. So, and I would give the advantage to Minnesota in the physicality part of it too. Yes. I think they have more bigger bodies and more guys that are willing to essentially give up the body more so than the Stars. I mean, the Stars have those guys too, but I think Minnesota is, you know, has the advantage in that as assets at, wow, in that essence. Jeez. So I hope, I hope they figure it out. Honestly, I really do. Even though, again, I picked Dallas, but I do hope they figure it out, because I at least would want the Wild to go down swinging. Like,
yes,
let's be 5-on-5. Don't go to the box. Get out of the, stop going to the box.
And just to hammer the point home, names, unfortunately, are escaping me currently, but at some point last night, the Wild go on the power play 5-on-4, like, oh, word. Not, but like 30 seconds,
the shorty.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Like, so before that, like 30 seconds in, they commit a penalty. Like, it was an interference penalty. They're coming into the zone. And I forget the kid, like, it looked like he hooked him, but he got called for interference. And so he goes in the box, and now we're looking at 4-on-4. And it's like, you just blew your chance. Like,
yeah. Yeah. You
could have put Boston on their heels.
Sorry. No, you're good. I knew what you meant. I didn't watch this game live. I just saw the highlights this morning, and the entire 9-minute clip essentially was Dallas on the power play.
Yep.
Like, I was like, what is going on, dude?
That's terrible. Like, that's why I texted last night in the group. I'm like,
yeah,
a lot of dumb penalties coming from Minnesota. A lot of dumb penalties.
They're just giving it away, man. They're just giving it away.
You hate to see it.
You do hate to see it.
Something you love to see, Joe.
Buddy, my most impressed, the Seattle MFing Kraken, dude.
Yes.
I did pick the Avs in 6, but I am so impressed with this Kraken team. So impressed. And I hope that I'm wrong. I so hope that I'm wrong. They have gone up 2-0 in every single game.
Yeah.
They are the first team to have their first playoffs to do that. Ever. Yeah. So they've scored first in each of the first 4 games of their playoff existence. Boom. The Kraken are here, bro.
Yeah.
And Cale Makar is a piece of shit. Cale Makar is an absolute piece of shit. Okay. When we're again talking about suspensions, okay. He gets 1 game. And I get it. I get it. He's never made an offense before. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But that hit was so late after the whistle. He slams McCann into the boards like seconds after the whistle blew. Like, I'm talking a good 2-3 seconds after the whistle blew. And he goes and hits McCann the way he did from behind. Wasn't expecting it. Again, I know he's a first-time offender. Number one, again, he's a piece of shit. Number 2, the NHL Players Safety Board is also bullshit. You know, if Bunting gets 3 games for that elbow to the head, which we'll call that not malicious because he wasn't necessarily looking for his head. He jumped up to hit Chernak, who was squatting down kind of going for a play. And he hit him in the head. Yeah, that's a messed up thing, but that's 3 games. Makar literally lined up McCann after the whistle and hit him, and he gets 1 game. So not only am I calling out Makar for being a piece of shit, but the Players Safety Board, I believe, is also a piece of shit. Like, do they literally just throw 1-5 in a hat, right? And they're shaking it around while they play naked twister, and then when somebody gets one limb free, they pick out the piece of paper, and that's the games that they get? Like, it's so absurd, man. Like, if Bunting got 3 for that hit, Makar should have at least gotten 3 for lining up McCann and essentially taking him out probably for the rest of the playoffs, more than likely. Like, dude.
That's gross.
For a player so talented as Cale Makar,
mm-hmm.
to do that, again, that's why I've said for the 5th time now, you're a piece of shit. And I hope to whatever thing that you pray to and are grateful to in this world, I hope the Kraken bounce you guys so much now. And I think that they can, honestly. Grubauer is on his shit.
Mm-hmm.
The team has got some depth. Like, Schwartz is scoring. Schultz is scoring. Danny Sprong is coming in through clutch times. He scored on the power play last game. It's very possible that they could bounce the Avalanche. Very possible. Here's the only problem.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Avs haven't actually woken up yet.
Agreed.
Because, like I just said, Makar only has one goal and two assists. MacKinnon has two goals, two assists. Rantanen is the only one that's really producing. He's got five goals, one assists.
Yep.
They haven't woken up yet, and that's scary.
Yeah.
But being in this series, the Kraken winning two games already.
Yes.
Is pretty monumental. So you may have shaken Colorado. You also may have shaken the Giant awake. So
I will say this, any way you look at it, house money, you know, at this point,
100%, 100%.
But also this is a good test for them because,
oh yeah,
you got to see if they have the killer instinct, and what better way than trying to put the defending Stanley Cup champions on their heels.
For sure. I mean, literally just to be in this position right now, you bounced them in their own barn. Number one.
Yes.
Yeah. You lost, you split in their barn and your barn for a brand new team, second year, but first playoff experience in a young team. That itself is already like you've won. You really have. Like, there's nothing. If you lose the next two games, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
No,
you guys have gone above and beyond what you were expected to do this early on. So like you said, house money. But I really hope that they do it. I hope that I'm wrong in my pick.
Me too.
Because I'm not going to be the guy that changes my pick. I'm not doing that. But I really honestly hope that I'm wrong, because I would love nothing more now than for the Kraken to bounce them and then literally look Makar in the face and give him the birds. Like, yes. Go play golf now, you piece of shit.
And then I just want to see it selfishly, because that keeps, you know, my cup hopes alive. You know, we'll talk about that. It's,
of course,
both Corey and I have made no secret. The one we want to see the most is the one that's probably least to happen: Kraken and Devils.
Yeah. Yep.
But like, as long as that's alive, that's the one I'm going to be rooting for in the back of my head.
For sure. I agree. I would love nothing more.
Final nail in this one, I'll say, is Seattle have a chance? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We'll see most of it. Is their game five tonight or tomorrow? I think
tonight. Yep. Right. It's tonight.
So yep.
Colorado.
We'll have a better grasp on it. I think if Colorado wins this one, though, depending on how, if to your point, they wake up and like just absolutely squash them, it's probably over. I hope I'm wrong there, because Seattle has a chance in game six at home to be able to even it back up. But if Colorado wakes up, this could be like a two-game thing, and it's over.
It's true. I know we said last nail in the coffin. I'm really not trying to have last word on this, but it's just something I just thought of. Going back to talking about suspensions, if that hit was done by Kadri, Tom Wilson, Brad Marchand, they would have gotten the maximum amount of games, just because that they've been suspended before, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter because of their reputation, right?
Right.
And not about what actually happened, not about the actual incident, but because they have a reputation, right? But right. Just because Makar is a first-time offender, he only gets one game. Mm. Like, I don't think that I'm over-exaggerating or being dramatic, but a hit like that, you could end somebody's career.
Yeah, man.
Either it was from behind.
Either you protect the players or you don't.
Like, so yeah, man. Like, it's just another reason to shake my. We say a lot of things chirping the NHL. We are the barn chirpers. We chirp the NHL a lot for dropping a lot of issues, right? Doing terrible things. I actually do really love the NHL. I love this sport so much. And that's why I get so heated, because it should be better.
Yes.
It should be better. But that's for another time. We're running long here. Let's get to your boys. Let's get to it.
The New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils sit at 2 games apiece. And friend, I got to tell you, I had lost the faith after the first 2 games.
I know you did. I was trying to keep you on planet Earth. Keep 1 foot on the floor, man.
I didn't see anything in game 1 and 2. They got beat 5-1 twice.
Yeah.
They showed me literally nothing that they've done all year. Nothing. In the first 2 games, Kreider had 4 power play goals from the same place.
Yeah. He was kind of unstoppable.
How do you not put a body on him? Like, how do you not make some sort of adjustment to go, oh yeah, maybe we should stop letting that guy score. It just looked miserable. They looked bleeding. They looked defeated by the end of game 2. And,
yeah, he's got 6 points in 4 games.
I mean, you know, it's not like they completely stopped him after game 2, but they slowed him down a little bit, at least. He's not winning games for him. But they showed up in game 3, man. And
they sure did.
I want to ask this question to you and to you, the listener and viewer. Do you have any superstitions? And I ask this because during game 1 and 2, I threw my Devil's hat around a lot because I was really mad.
Yeah.
I was really mad watching these guys that I've loved all season look like they didn't belong. They looked like they did not belong in the NHL playoffs. And that was frustrating because I know that they do.
For sure. Yeah, they do.
But I didn't get to view any of game 3 because I was at a wedding. And by the time I got home just in time to be able to open up the NHL app to see what the score was. And it was 1-1 going into overtime. And literally 2 minutes later, Hamilton slaps one home and the Devs win game 3. I was like, okay,
I can't watch now.
I don't think I can watch game 4.
Yeah.
I was at a wedding, so I did not wear my Devil's cap. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to, on Monday, I didn't wear my Devs cap all day. I did watch the first period, which I don't know if you saw Jack's goal.
I didn't see it.
Oh my God, it was gorgeous. Siegs, like a nice little lifter over everybody. Jack with a breakaway. It was beautiful.
Jack in the breakaway, you're going to score.
Is that right? Like, yes. So I'm like, all right, cool. 1-0, end of period. I'm like, all right, I got to turn this off. I can't risk that they come back and win this thing. So I turned it off, which was one of the hardest things.
And yeah. They won. Yeah. I feel like you can't watch anymore.
At least not the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That sucks. Cause I want to watch the boys, but superstition.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have had that in the past, like watching Caps games or not watching them. You know, essentially it was like, I don't remember. It was probably 2 seasons ago. They had like a 6 or 8 game winning streak or something like that. And I had watched every game up to like, it's like 4. I watched all four games in a row, whatever. Like I stayed up late and all that. And they kept winning. I was like, oh, I gotta keep watching. And then, so I watched whatever it was, 5 or 6, whatever it was. And then I didn't watch one of the last wins. And then I was kind of like, it's probably not me. I can probably let the superstition go. And then they lost the game after that. I was like, well, I don't know. But I'm not really that superstitious anymore. But I understand where you're coming from for sure. Like anything as sports fans, anything that we do whenever we're watching a game or watching our team, watching our squad, you have to do every single time because it sends the good vibes to the squad.
Yep. So we go back to New Jersey tomorrow. We've talked a lot about game 1 and 2 were not Vanacek's fault.
No, I mean to that point, I want to say this. New Jersey has one of the lowest shot attempts at 112 this playoffs.
Yeah.
One of the lowest.
That's got to go way up.
Vanacek cannot score goals. He's the goalie.
Right.
Schmid has come in to save the day. Thank you, Schmid. But he also cannot score goals, guys. Like, nope. You got to get shots and you got to get goals. John Madden here. Real yep. simple. Yep. But you guys got to get those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers.
So, you know, especially a guy I need to see taking more shots is Timo Meier, because he can.
Yeah, he hasn't gotten on the scoreboard yet, has he?
He hasn't. And I'm okay with that if they, number one, if they keep winning. But number two, as long as he keeps shooting, because if he keeps shooting, then he's going to draw bodies. And that's going to leave anybody open. And
rebounds,
our top two lines are lethal.
Lethal. I mean, that's the other thing, too. You can't depend on Jackie getting wide open for a breakaway. Right. He's probably going to score that, but it's the classic. You can't depend on the pretty goals. Like, you got to get dirty. You got to get nasty. Get those garbage goals, because garbage goals win the game.
They were so good at it earlier in the year. Like, guys like Bockvist and Miles Wood, I'm so glad he got taken out of the lineup. Like, both of those first two games, the Avalanche started on two ridiculously stupid Miles Wood penalties in the offensive zone. And so it's like, get off the ice, man. Get out of here. Let's let some of these other guys play. Tater. Tuna. Let's see. I'd like to see more from Brat also, as an aside. But Bockvist, like, the guys who are going to go to work and try to get grimy.
It was good to see Siegs got on the board. He scored a goal and had an assist last game, so that's good for him. And then Heischer had an apple as well. So,
yep.
But they need it. Some more stats for you. So, surprisingly, the New York Rangers have the lowest shot attempts in the playoffs right now at 103. That's very surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
But New York has only allowed 1.75 goals a game.
Mm-hmm.
And Igor Shesterkin has the top save percentage at .941 right now in the playoffs.
Do you know why that is, Joe?
Because the Devils can't score.
Well, also because they're not fucking shooting.
They're not shooting. Yeah, there's that too. So,
there's a lot of extra passes, and, you know, especially in the 2-5-1 games, a lot of extra passes. Just take the fucking shot.
Well,
you don't have to bury it. Just
take
the shot.
That's what I was saying too. Mentioning too, like, and you know what? Like, I talk it the same way. Like with playing Chell, like, stop trying to be pretty and cute. Just shoot the puck.
Yes.
Like, what are we doing? Like, let's stop being pretty. Just literally shoot the puck. Like, you have a chance. Shoot the puck. Don't try to make a pretty pass. Don't just shoot the puck.
And again, like in game one, the Rangers were just putting bodies in front of shots. Keep shooting anyway. Just
hit somebody in the effing face, man. I don't care.
You got to get grimy. You got to get grimy. You got to stop turning over the puck. You got to shoot the fucking puck.
You got to shoot the puck, man.
It isn't rockets, especially with a team like New Jersey. They're willing. They've done it all year.
They're definitely better than what they've shown. I do think the last two games have obviously taken the turn because they won the last two, of showing what they actually are. And I'm like, okay, you've had four games now. Like, we can't keep going back to this is too big of a stage now. Like, in our last episode, we talked about, oh, it's a really big stage. It was probably a shock. You've had four games now.
Yep.
Give your balls a tug. Like, let's go. You play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You did it all year in these big stages, right? All year making these. You go from the third game where they were looking to fire the coach, and now all of a sudden you turned it around and you were this amazing team. Like, show up.
Just show up.
Show up.
They've beaten the Rags in the regular season 3 out of 4 times. The one loss was an overtime loss, which is, it's still a loss.
That's a toss up. But yeah.
Yeah. So it's, they can beat these guys. They can beat Shesterkin. But if you don't shoot the puck, then we do nothing.
Exactly.
I want to see the boys. I want to see them do the damn thing tomorrow night and go.
I would love to see it.
Go up 3-2 and get some momentum and not let this thing go to seven. That right. worries me. But that said,
plus it'd be a lot easier going back to MSG up 3-2 than yes. down 3-2.
Yes. But that said. We are the other team. We are playing with house money, and that in the back of my head somewhere. It's just
it's true.
It's hard to keep that anywhere when we're playing the Rags.
Yeah, no, I get that too. But just like the crack, like the Devils are far ahead of where they should be. So they did. It was an amazing season. I'm not counting them out now at all, but by any means. But if it, no matter what, it is house money, and like they've done pretty damn good for the team that they have they have to show for it. But I hopefully they keep Schmid. Schmid seems to be the guy Schmid's right now. Guy. So let's go for it.
Schmid's the guy. I think Vanny going forward is the relief, and Blackwood is out next year. Like, I don't know where he goes, but he's out.
And that's fine. Again, like we talked about earlier with the whole goalie situation, like with Florida's goalie situation, I feel like you have to stay with Schmid now. You have to. Yep. Because if you don't, you do advance, shake him. Like at least at this point, Vanacek, he played two games. He didn't win those games. It wasn't necessarily his fault, like we talked about. So, okay, we're going to go to Schmid. Okay, well, that's fair. You know, but now Schmid has won two games. You can't be like, okay, Vanny, now you go and win two more. Like, that's a lot of pressure, number one. Number two, obviously, as a NHL player, like, you want to play. But, yeah, it's like, dude, you're the backup now. We got to go with this guy.
Yep.
You know, if we get past, maybe you'll see game one or two in round two. But Schmid's the guy. Schmid's the guy.
He's the guy. Man, you know. We've done it again, friend. We sure went a little longer than we had planned to. We missed puck drop, I think
that's all right. They probably didn't actually drop it till 7:15, so it's all good. It's fine. Yeah. So I guess that's until next time, ladies and gentlemen. Stick taps and sellies, boys. Boop, boop, boop.
End broadcast.